Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region, or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Lane Miller about the San Rafael Swell. The San Rafael Swell is a beautiful location in Emery County, Utah. There are many historical artifacts such as petroglyphs, beautiful vistas, hiking and biking, ATV trails, wild horses, and much, much more in this fabulous location. We are excited to learn about San Rafael Swell from Lane Miller. We're glad to have you with us again today, Lane.
Thanks, it's good to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Let's get started by getting to know you a little bit, Lane. Unrelated to San Rafael Swell, what are two or three things that you would say you are geeky about in Southeast Utah?
Oh, scenery has to be just about number one. I love the area, I love the history. I love motorcycle riding, and some of the best motorcycle riding in the country is around here. My favorite ride goes right through the San Rafael Swell, starting Green River, and you climb Spotted Wolf Canyon on I-70 up onto the swell and through the canyons, and some of the best motorcycle riding anywhere. What else? Scenery, beautiful, the history. I can just geek out forever just thinking about it. It's great. It's a fabulous place.
Great. That's great to hear. We love to hear about what different locals and people like to do here in Southeast Utah. Let's get on the subject, though, of San Rafael Swell. Can you give an overview of maybe what people can expect to see there, and where can people find some of these things that maybe you'll mention?
The interesting thing about the San Rafael Swell is it's difficult to see in some places. The easiest way to see the San Rafael Swell is to take Interstate 70 west or east, and it cuts right through the heart of the San Rafael Swell. But if you leave the interstate in any direction, north or south, you're on a dirt road. And so it's easy to see it from Interstate 70, but sometimes it's tough to see it other ways. But that's the fun of it, because you can see it in a Jeep in a four-wheel drive, you can see it in a side-by-side, you can see it on a dual-sport adventure bike that you can take off-road, you can hike, you can walk, but it takes some effort to enjoy the San Rafael Swell. It's often not easy, but it's well worth the effort, and the reward is spectacular.
So what are some of maybe your favorite locations in the San Rafael Swell that maybe you could introduce us to?
I think the thing that pops to mind more than anything is the Wedge Overlook. It's also called the Little Grand Canyon. You're on just a normal gravel road that seems to be climbing, and all of a sudden you top a little hill, and there is the Wedge, and it's deeper than the Grand Canyon. So here is this drop-off that just your jaw hits the dashboard of your car because of the view, and in the bottom is the San Rafael River. One of the cool things about the San Rafael Swell is you're either in a canyon looking up, or you're on a plateau looking down. And when it comes to the Wedge Overlook, you're on top looking down, with some of the prettiest scenery you can find anywhere. You can actually float the San Rafael River and be on the river looking up at the Wedge Overlook. That, when you mention geeky things, that's my geekiest thing, and that's the Wedge Overlook. And the great thing about it, to get to the Wedge from from here, you're probably looking at maybe 45 minutes.
Well, and to get to the wedge, the county, even though it is a gravel road, they maintain it pretty well that you can take a regular automobile there and actually experience that. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can. You know, I give Emery County credit. They have some of the best maintained backcountry dirt roads of anybody in Utah. They really do take care of them. You have to be prepared, because if you break down, you're going to be a long ways. But yeah, you can take a regular car out there as long as you don't mind getting a little dusty.
You know, you mentioned the Wedge Overlook, and that's got to be one of my favorite areas. There's another area, and maybe you can clear this up for me. I think it goes right there through the interstate. And I want to say that it's like Black Dragon Pass or something, but you are actually driving with cliffs on either side of you, almost like you're in the bottom of the Grand Canyon driving with these cliffs. Do you know that area that I'm talking about? Or
you're probably talking about Black Dragon Canyon.
Okay.
And it's one of the red sandstone canyons that cuts through the swell. See, if you look on a map, the swell is actually that. It's a swollen blister on the earth. It's about, I believe it's about 80 miles long, about 40 miles wide. And so it's an uplift. So something inside the earth pushed the ground up. And so all the rivers and things have cut canyons through that uplift. So there are lots and lots of canyons that you can take. And the thing that really makes me geeky about the swell is the rock art. Some of the prettiest pictographs, paintings that you'll see anywhere are hidden away in different places in the San Rafael Swell. And Black Dragon Canyon is one of those. There are some figures in Black Dragon that are probably 5 feet tall, painted on the cliff. And it's just a neat, neat place to go. You can only drive so far, then you have to get out and walk. Or you can start at the top and mountain bike down through it. That's a popular mountain bike ride through Black Dragon.
Yeah, I just remember seeing that on a map, and I believe I drove through there, and so I want to say that's that area, but I wasn't certain. But it was definitely breathtaking, I guess you could say, is probably the best word to describe that area.
You know, one of the other neat places, off I-70 goes, there's a big tall bridge that goes over Eagle Canyon. I'm not sure how deep Eagle Canyon is. It has to be 800 or 900 feet, maybe 1,000 feet. And the cliffs there are yellowish and reddish, and gorgeous view. You can stop and look. Eagle Canyon received its name, as I understand, from the Swayzes. The Swayze family used to ranch and live in the swell. Some of the first people to, white folks, to live in the swell. And they called it Eagle Canyon because it's so steep and so deep that an eagle could fly out of it. I think that's where the name comes from. A lot of the names in the swell were named either by the Swayzes or named after them.
That leads me to wonder, do you know why it's called the Wedge Overlook? Why is it called the Wedge, I guess?
Don't ask me that. I don't know the answer to that question.
Maybe it's kind of shaped like a Wedge Butte or something like that. I don't know.
Well, if you look at it on the map, it is kind of pie-shaped. So maybe that's where the name came from. I've never asked. It's one of my favorite places to visit.
I think you've answered this for me, but maybe elaborate a little further on this. What motivates your interest in the San Rafael Swell?
It's the beauty that drew me there originally, and the fact that your reward is hard to come by. Most of the places, like I said, you have to go four-wheel drive, or a side-by-side, or a dual-sport off-road motorcycle, and it takes some effort to see it. But the reward when you get there is absolutely fantastic. And like other places around here, it's the history. You know, even though that is a really isolated, hostile in places environment, people have been there. The Fremont Indians were there 1,000 years ago. A branch of the old Spanish Trail came through there. The area was discovered and researched by uranium prospectors. One of their leftovers, I think, are some of the wild burros that are in the San Rafael Swell. Another thing that's really fun to see. Out in the middle of nowhere, and you come around the corner, and there's a herd of wild burros. And there are some places where there are wild horses, too. But a lot of history from, well, it starts, I didn't even mention the dinosaurs. You know, our dinosaur quarry is right on the edge of the San Rafael Swell.
Well, and not to mention, there's a couple famous dinosaur footprints that you can identify and find along some of the, I think it's Buckhorn Wash Road and things like that. Any myths or misconceptions that you've heard about that maybe we could clear up here about San Rafael Swell?
Well, that's a good question. Let me think about that for a minute. I think the one of the myths that we hear about the swell and other places is that there hasn't been much human activity there. But when you start researching almost every place you go, the uranium prospectors were there, the early researchers, the early explorers were there. There's a lot of human impact, I shouldn't say impact, human remains in the San Rafael Swell, because people have been all over it. Some of the rivers that flow through there, the Dirty Devil and the San Rafael River and the Muddy River, have left spectacular sandstone-lined canyons with really nice rivers in them.
That reminds me of another area, and I believe it's adjacent to, if it's not in the San Rafael Swell, and growing up, I always heard of it as the military caves. But do you know about those? And if so, I know that I think they may have been closed off or filled in by now. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really fascinating story. We really don't have time to go into it today. Some people call them the MK caves, Morrison Knutson caves, because they were actually dug by the company Morrison Knutson, and it was part of research that was being done by the government back when they, I have to think of the name here, when they put military installation inside of granite caves in, or granite mountain in Colorado. They wanted to put a military installation in a place where it could survive a nuclear attack. And one of the places that they looked was the San Rafael Swell. So they went down there and set off huge amount of dynamite to find out how strong the sandstone was. And what they left were huge caves. And you're right, a few years ago they were closed. You were able to go into them. But it was part of the 1950s and 60s nuclear defense that the government was doing. It's a fascinating piece of history that most people don't even know about.
And so I guess that they are no longer available to view or go to, is that correct?
True, the BLM went in and dynamited them and closed them. One thing that I don't think most people have heard is that Buckhorn Flat, if this would have happened, Buckhorn Flat would have had a full-blown city, including a hospital in it. And right now it's just a sagebrush flat.
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
It's game time. We want to play a little game with you that we call Geeky or Game Over. The way the game works is I will give you a topic and you will answer that you are geeky about it if you like it or enjoy it. And you will answer game over if you don't like it, haven't heard of it, or really don't have much interest in it. You're welcome to elaborate further on your answers, and you can give any other feedback on your answers if you like. Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay. First one, board games.
Geeky.
Okay. Star Trek.
Can I be halfway in between? Game over.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Game over.
Basketball.
Geeky. As long as it's pro ball.
Okay, that was going to be my follow-up, is whether you like to play or you just like to watch. Or
I just like to watch. I played it. My last basketball game was a few months ago, and it was against my great-grandkids and some of my grandkids, and I almost didn't win.
So the height advantage is what was winning it for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If it wasn't for the height advantage, I'd have been sunk.
Okay, our next one, hiking.
Hiking, oh, geeky.
Fishing.
No, game over. And I have tried. I've tried it all.
You don't like that methodical throw the reel back and forth action?
No.
Video games.
Game over.
Lord of the Rings.
No, game over.
River rafting.
Now, I'm geeky. I've been a river guide through Carbon Rec, done a lot of the Utah rivers around Price, and I have a reservation for September to float the Grand Canyon. That's about number one on my to-do list, so I am so excited.
Next, Harry Potter.
No, game over.
Okay, ATVs and OHVs.
Yes, razors. My newest passion. I got one in December, and I can't wait to get enough miles on it. I ride it just about every day.
And last of all, camping.
Camping, geeky. I used to do more of it than I do now, but I still love it.
Sorry about that geeky interruption. We are back with Lane Miller, and we're talking about San Rafael Swell.
So to make a visitor experience even better in the San Rafael Swell, what would be some of your recommendations?
Well, number one has to be the Wedge Overlook. I think number two is Buckhorn Wash. Buckhorn Wash is one of the major canyons that cuts all the way through the swell. The road in Buckhorn goes all the way through and comes out at I-70. But you get partway down, and there's one of the largest barrier canyon-style pictographs in Utah, and it's absolutely spectacular. And the trip is great. A lot of cottonwood trees, so when you're there during the summer, the cottonwood trees are all leafed out, really pretty. And then I think one of my other favorite places is Swayze Cabin, which is south of Interstate 70. There's some really nice pictographs there, and it's a place where the Swayze family settled first, built a log cabin. They lived in a cave for a while, actually put a floor in the cave when they first got there, but the cabin is still there. You can go visit. There's a cave in the back that they called the refrigerator. In the winter, it would snow, ice would build up in the bottom and wouldn't melt for a long time, so that's where they stored their meat. So there's a whole series of things to see there at Swayze Cabin. And it's like some of the other places. If you regular vehicle or a high clearance can get you there.
Lane, you seem to be very knowledgeable about San Rafael Swell. Do you do guided tours there? And if so, how do people get in contact with you to be able to do that?
That's a good question. I've been doing rock art tours through Carbon County Recreation now for well over 20 years. I take groups into the San Rafael Swell, 9 Mile, and into Range Creek. And the way to find out when those are or to arrange a private tour, you have to get hold of Carbon County Recreation. And they'll get hold of me and we can make the arrangements. So those, if you get a chance to see those three places, you've seen a big chunk of really fascinating space here in Carbon and Emery counties.
Switching up a little bit, we've talked about San Rafael Swell quite a bit, but what would be some other fascinating places here in Southeast Utah that you really enjoy and you would recommend to others to go and visit?
Boy, that's such a broad question. You know, you can leave Price on a side-by-side. I have a Razor that I ride. And you can leave Price and you can go in any direction and there are lots of dirt roads. My house is located at the base of Wood Hill. I can jump on my Razor and I can head out and within a block I'm on a dirt road, and once I'm on that dirt road I can go any direction. From my house I can go clear to Green River, you can go south down along the Price River, you can go to Helper. There's just so much to see here. It's really hard for me to, you know, to really target it, especially if you like history. When you learn history in school, you memorize names and dates. But when you start getting out and seeing the places that are around here, and then you come home and you start to research why they are there and who lived there, all of a sudden history becomes fascinating. It becomes real life. It's something that you can actually see.
That leads me to ask the question, well, first of all, I guess make the statement that I like how you mentioned kind of Price in the surrounding area, because I really feel as if this area is ideal for so many things. And, you know, you're only an hour from the Wasatch Front. You're only 20 minutes from the desert and probably 20-30 minutes from the mountains and lakes and reservoirs. And this is kind of an ideal place for people to experience it all and still not be too far from a large urban area.
You know, my wife and I have different interests usually when we go some places. I'm a desert rat, and so I love the desert. My wife loves the pine trees and blue lakes. And so you can literally be in the mountains, traveling through the pine trees, seeing lakes, then come down into the San Rafael Swell, and you're right in the middle of a red sandstone line canyon in one day. You can see it both and spend time in both. Yeah, it's a fabulous place to live.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask you one final question. And on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being highest, how geeky are you about the San Rafael Swell?
I never thought about me being geeky. You know, if it used to be that if you were called a geek, that it was kind of a derogatory term. Anymore, I don't think it is. I look at it, if somebody calls you geeky, you're kind of passionate about something. And so I'm really passionate, really geeky about the San Rafael Swell and its beauty and its history, and the ability to go out someplace and look and search and explore and not come across very many other people. Even over Easter, I went to San Rafael Swell this past Easter. Normally Easter in the San Rafael Swell is really, really busy. But we went into two areas where we saw one other vehicle all day long. So it's a place where you can go and be by yourself and your thoughts and be really impressed with the beauty and really appreciate what we have here.
So I guess then you're a 10 on a 1 to 10 scale there?
Yeah, I never did answer that. Yeah, I'm at least a 10.
What about for others? I mean, is the San Rafael Swell just a really geeky place for hikers or history buffs, outdoor enthusiasts? I mean, would you consider it a 10 for those kind of people?
I would, yes. And I think once they visit, that they would turn into a 10 and become a 10 over it. It's a place not many people have been, but everybody that I know spends time in the San Rafael Swell, they become really geeky about it. It's hard not to be.
Oh, and I would agree with you. I love the area, and as I've gotten older, I think I love it even more. One last thing I think I just wanted to mention just briefly was, I think there's a recent designation by the federal government to protect the area. Is that correct?
Yes. I can tell you that the Cleveland Lloyd Dinosaur Quarry is now called Jurassic Park National Monument, if I remember, named Jurassic Park. That's because of the dinosaur discoveries there. Cleveland Lloyd Dinosaur Quarry has more Jurassic Age bones taken from it than any other quarry in the world. Over 10,000 bones have come out of the Cleveland Lloyd Quarry, but I think now it's called the Jurassic Park National Monument.
And that's just a portion then of the San Rafael Swell, not...
Small piece.
Okay.
Yeah, just a small piece.
So another part of the swell that you can visit if you're the dinosaur buff, I guess you could say.
Dinosaur geek.
Dinosaur geek.
All six-year-old boys are dinosaur geeks, I guarantee you.
I would agree with that. I have an eight-year-old boy, and he's still a dinosaur geek.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Lane, and thanks for being a part of the podcast today, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks for inviting me. I enjoy talking about the area, always.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.